the eighth day of the month. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Luke 1, verses 78 through 79. Christ is our peace. Ephesians 2, verse 14. Today we consider peace as a fruit of the Spirit. When the Scriptures speak of peace, they intend us to understand more than the absence of enmity or hostility. The Hebrew word translated peace is shalom. Shalom means wholeness, the perfecting of all that is broken or incomplete. It points to reconciliation and restitution. Peace in this sense is far more than the absence of conflict or confusion. Ultimately, it is the restoration of God's original intention in creation, the overcoming of sin and all resulting disruptions. On this day, it is well to ask, how strong is my sense of having been made whole by God? How can I spread God's wholeness all around me? How can I help to communicate to others the wholeness God intends for all of us? How can I nurture within myself the conviction that in the end God will bring shalom to the whole created order so that there will be a new heaven and a new earth? Opening prayer. Most holy and undivided Trinity, within the complexity of your being there is unity, yet from that unity flows forth diversity, and all taken together is wholeness. Share with us this mystery of your divine life, that we, despite our differences, may not be at odds, competing for power, struggling for prestige, but rather may be at peace, whole as you are whole, conscientious trustees of your reconciling love. Blessed are you in whose image we are made. Amen. Psalm 121. I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and mountains. He won't let you stumble. Your guardian God won't fall asleep. Not on your life. Israel's guardian will never doze or sleep. God's your guardian, right at your side to protect you, shielding you from sunstroke, sheltering you from moonstroke. God guards you from every evil. He guards your very life. He guards you when you leave and when you return. He guards you now. He guards you always. From the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 11, verses 1 through 8, and then 14 through 20. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, hear the words of this covenant, and speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and say to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, cursed is the man who does not heed the words of this covenant, which I commanded your forefathers in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, from the iron furnace, saying, listen to my voice, and do according to all which I command you, so you shall be my people, and I will be your God, in order to confirm the oath which I swore to your forefathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day. Then I said, amen, O Lord. And the Lord said to me, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear the words of this covenant and do them. For I solemnly warned your fathers in the day that I brought them up from the land of Egypt, even to this day, warning persistently, saying, listen to my voice. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but walked each one in the stubbornness of his evil heart. Therefore God brought on them all the words of this covenant, which he commanded them to do, but they did not. Therefore, do not pray for this people, nor lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not listen when they call to me because of their disaster. What right has my beloved in my house when she has done many vile deeds? Can the sacrificial flesh take away from you your disaster, so that you can rejoice? The Lord called your name, a green olive tree, beautiful in fruit and form. With a noise of a great tumult, he has kindled fire on it, and its branches are worthless. The Lord of hosts who planted you has pronounced evil against you, because the evil in the house of Israel and of the house of Judah, which they have done to provoke thee by offering up sacrifices to Baal. Moreover, the Lord made it known to me, and I knew it. Then you showed me their deeds. But I was like a gentle lamb led to slaughter, and I did not know that they had devised plots against me, saying, Let us destroy the tree with its fruit, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be remembered no more. But, O Lord of hosts, who judges righteously? Who tries the feelings and the heart? Let me see your vengeance on them, for to you I have committed my cause. From the letter to the Romans, chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. What shall we then say then? Are we to continue in sin so that the grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. From the Gospel according to John, chapter 8, verses 33 through 47. They answered him, We are Abraham's descendants and have not yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say, You will become free? Jesus answered them, Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son does remain forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen with my father, therefore you also do the things which you heard from your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, If you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father. They said to him, We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and have come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason you do not hear them, because you are not of God. These are the readings of the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Friday's Prayer. On this day, Lord Jesus, the flesh which you took upon yourself for us and for our salvation was hanged by us upon the cross. There you suffered all things and died that we might have life and have it in the abundance of your astounding grace. Blessed are you, Lord Jesus, with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, throughout time and all eternity. Amen. A prayer by Mikael Kuist, entitled The Tractor. I don't like tractors, Lord. I saw one in a field a while ago and I loathed it. Tractors are conceited. They crush man with all their strength. They never look at him. They just move forward. But when they move forward, they crawl, and that pleases me. They are ugly. They move clumsily, shaking their heavy shales, their silly noises upturned, panting, coughing their deep, measured, mechanical cough, but they are stronger than man, Lord. Regularly, imperturbably, they pull their load. They pull what 1,000 human arms could not move. They carry what 1,000 human hands could not lift. A tractor is ugly, yet it is strong and I need it. But it needs me. It needs man. It needs man to exist. It is man who made it. It needs man to move. It is man who starts it going. It needs man to go forward. It is man who steers it. It needs man especially that it may be offered up. For a tractor has no soul, Lord, and it is man who must lend it his own. I offer you tonight, Lord, the work of all the tractors in the country, of all the tractors in the world. I offer you the efforts of all the machines that have no soul with which to offer themselves. I pray that they may not crush man with their haughty power, but rather that they shall serve him. I pray that man, in the freedom of his soul, shall dominate them, and thus praise you by their work, glorify you, and share in creation's solemn mass, which is said every day through human labor, and will be said until the end of time. Amen. A prayer of Saint Francis of Assisi. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, it is in dying that we are born to eternal life.